is Lisa Horlander, and please don't drink the paint water. The podcast, conversations between artists about our work and other great advice to survive as an artist. Hey, welcome to Don't Drink the Paint Water. This is Lisa. Today we are going to have Brantley Sheffield, and he is a Dallas-based artist, primarily a painter, represented by RO2 Gallery in Dallas, and he exhibits work nationally, such as New York, Kansas City, Dallas. He has a BFA in illustration from Kansas City and an MFA from Boston University. Brantley, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yay, awesome. Oh, and a side note, how do I know Brantley? This is a new little detail I'll add to each episode. Brantley and I just recently were members or studio artists at the Cedars Union in Dallas, and we had studios near each other, so we went and had art adventures. It's been a great time. Still friends, obviously. So glad you're here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. Awesome. So glad to have you here. So tell us a little bit, are you finishing something up? Or are you currently working on a new project?
I've got a couple of paintings I'm working on right now. Two figurative works. One's of a guy giving a thumbs up. The one's of a woman posed with a basketball, right? You know, when she gets, you know, in those moments when you get photographed before you go play a team sport by your parents. So yeah, those are the two things I'm working on right now. After I finish these two guys up, I have to order more lumber to build stretchers and then go through the process of making more surfaces so I can continue to make my work.
Awesome. Yeah, that's always, that's like the practical side of things. Yeah, that's the good part of things where you're like, okay, now we need to make more canvases to make more art.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, I kind of work in phases like that where I buy, you know, I buy everything, I make all my surfaces, then I spend anywhere between six months and like, I don't know, a year, year and a half making the, you know, making the work. And then it just kind of repeats it over and over again about every 6 to 18 months, I would say.
Sounds like a good time frame too. The, give you enough time to think of exactly what the next body of work is going to be.
Right. Yeah. And everything's kind of like, so far anyways, everything's been very cumulative. So the one painting will lead into the next. Like it's very kind of, it's been nice kind of having that kind of process.
That's awesome. Okay, so while you're working on these, what's usually in your glass? Are you a coffee or tea person?
In the morning I'm a coffee person. And then as we get into the afternoon, I'll have a cup of tea. I can't be tempted for an afternoon cup of coffee, though.
I was going to say, I usually have like 4 or 5 of both, and they're usually half warm and, yeah, half drink.
Girl, I feel you. I'm normally like 3 cups of coffee before I leave my house. 4 o'clock. It's still hot by the time I'm done.
Exactly.
I'm like, and I don't even care if it is cold. I'll still drink it.
Yeah. I'm like, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I probably should stop drinking this coffee as I drink 4 more cups of coffee. Yeah.
As you drink 4 more cups. Man, 4 o'clock's almost cocktail hour now.
This is true. Might add something to the coffee. If you could go back in time and give yourself a tip, what's the number one thing you would give your young self advice about?
One, I don't think I'd want to meet my younger self. I don't think we would like each other.
I forgot to say.
But something, you know, I always tell my students, I wish my professors told me. And something I always tell them is just, you know, be open to things. Don't, yes, have your end goal, but don't be so set on that goal that you miss all these other wonderful opportunities that could, like, lead you down an even more interesting path that could eventually get you to your goal, or your goal might change based on some of those opportunities that pop up like mine did. And that's why I don't think 17, 18-year-old Brantley would like to talk to me about those things, because I thought I knew everything. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's the problem, is a lot of young, you know, a lot of students, especially coming out of high school, especially art students, we already have like this ego, which I did. So I'm just speaking from my own personal experience here, but it is. It's just to continue to open your pigeonhole, widen the scope. Don't pigeonhole yourself. Like, people are too young to do these things. I'm over here still kind of having to remind myself of some of these things. Like, yeah, you've been stuck in this for a little while. Maybe think about it differently. Maybe look at some other kind of stuff. And just be receptive. Don't close yourself off. Yeah. It's like the biggest thing.
That's a really good point. There's so many opportunities there. And so if you close yourself, like, I mean, I think you and Kat were the ones who convinced me that I could show my sculptures I was making. I was like, I'm a painter. So it's like, if I had closed myself off to that suggestion from you guys, or if I had not made the items in the first place because I was already so scared of doing this thing that I thought I couldn't do, then they wouldn't have been made and they wouldn't have been shown and I wouldn't have gone that direction. So yeah, I think that's really good advice. I think you've shared that advice with me now that I think about it. You might have said that exact same thing to me.
I tell everybody that'll listen to that stuff.
Well, I'm glad you do. It's very helpful.
Well, I'm glad you find it helpful. Hopefully other people do.
I bet they will.
Otherwise, I'm just an annoying person that speaks their mind too much. So.
Never. Please keep speaking
Never.
Your mind. It's so entertaining.
As long as you think so.
I do. That is why I had you on the show. I was like, Brantley is a perfect guest. We need to have him here. Perfect. What is your favorite item in your studio? Do you have something, whether it's a supply or maybe it's a cool thing that's on the wall? Is there something that is your favorite item that you always have in your studio?
I got a few like trinkets that I've collected over the years. Like I have this like baseball card that my professor John Ferry gave me when I like turned him onto this book, and he gave me the baseball card of the player who wrote the book.
Oh.
And I still have that in my studio. It's like in a little frame and stuff. It's something I keep. I've also got like weird little items, like just like, you know, small, like I've got like a small like I like weird little Jesus flashlight that says Jesus light my way.
Oh my God,
some weird stuff that I've collected over the years. I've also got like a free sex coupon that I hold on to.
Yeah, this should be framed too, just in case.
Just in case, because you never know. And so those are like little trinkets and stuff I have, and I've got more stuff like that. Like I got this pointless little watercolor set that's like definitely novelty. That's like the size of like maybe a quarter. You know?
Oh, cute! Is it like one of those round ones that has? It's like a little plastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's got this little brush with it.
It's tiny, it's like, unusable, but it's adorable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think I had one of those.
And then,
at
like,
point.
Personal supply objects, always got to have my paint. Forgot to have my paint.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have, like, my assortment of, like, seven or ten brushes that, like, I use all the time. And if I lost one of these brushes, I think I might lose a part of my soul.
I understand that feeling.
Those things are important.
Yeah.
And like, because I'm a painter who paints with a brush. Like so that's just like those brushes to me. I found they are the most important things. I feel like I've endowed so much like energy into them through painting them that they're like a part of me at this point.
Would you be able to buy another one? Are they
no
like a brand?
Because these ones too, I've never bought them.
Oh.
I found them. They all found their way to me. I've never bought these brushes. The brushes I do buy, it's like, why did I buy that brush?
Yes. No, I have some of those. They were, so my husband's grandmother was a painter, literally a closet painter. She painted something and put it in the closet. Everybody now has one of her paintings, and we didn't really realize how many she made. But all her supplies went to my sister-in-law and me, because we were like the only artists. And I don't know what I would do if those paintings broke, or the paintbrushes broke. I mean, the paintings too, I love the paintings, but they're the best brushes I own, and I go to them every time, so I totally feel you on that. It's like, I don't know where I'd get another one.
Exactly. Well, I know where I'd get another one. I just don't know if it'd be the same brush.
Yeah, exactly. It's
like,
and
it,
the wear on it was just perfect. It's like worn down.
Exactly.
Just the right way. Okay, so if you were to recommend a young person or someone who's developing their style, what studio item would you recommend to them as like a main starting out point?
What do you mean by like a studio item in terms of them finding themselves?
I guess like I usually would recommend, there's this one instant paint cup that I've talked about a few times. It doesn't look drinkable. Like you are not going to hold it up to your mouth and try to drink out of it. It has little squishy arm things on the side. I personally love it. I just got it for Christmas. So you've actually not seen it. It wasn't in my old studio. It's here in my house
studio.
Sounds
amazing.
And it's great. It holds the brushes for me, and it has like squiggly things on the bottom too. So you can rub your brush on the bottom. So I always recommend that now to people who've been asking me, like, what should I get for my kid for Christmas? This thing that I got for Christmas, you need one. So that's kind of what I mean.
I don't know. I'm I've been, like, gifted, like, brush hold, like, you know, like, display brush holders mm-hmm. that are just, like, out of control. And if you're, like, a person like me who has an obscene amount of paintbrush, like, I have two of them and they're both full. Those are great things. You can get those kinds of things if they, like, just watch out for, like, if you're at an art store and they're empty or they're about to close, the art store's going out of business. But, like, what are you guys doing with these? A lot of times they'll just give them to you.
That's great.
I think you can find them out back there, dumpsters. Like, just take that, you know? Yeah. But, like, it's. So stuff like that, and then like shelves, like having shelves or like just like foldable tables and stuff is also a good space. Like stuff to create your space to hold your objects is really what you need.
Yes.
And I like when we moved into the new space, that was the biggest thing for me. I was like, I'm about to spend like, I spent like $250 on like tables and shelves to make the space function, right?
Yes.
And so it was like, whereas one desk wasn't going to cut it anymore, you know?
I totally know that. I just was looking at IKEA had something where it was like a skinny table that folds out, and I'm going to try to invest in that because my little front room studio has one table and it's already covered, and I feel the space. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need space. So yeah, no, I'm like, I can feel that on like a painful level, as you said, space every time.
Yes,
we need
insane.
Space.
And you have to have objects to fill that space out so it can function. It's just a madness.
Building up instead of out. So important.
Yeah, that's always difficult too.
I have some questions from our listeners. I actually finally have some. I'm excited.
Wow.
So the last few questions.
Lisa, that's awesome.
I know. They're responding. I'm so like touched that friends are really responding to the social media posts I'm having. Sometimes mm-hmm. does it feel like you're speaking to the void? I feel often that I'm posting something, it's going out into the nether and never to be returned to me. So when I get responses, I'm honestly touched. So I've got four new questions. I'm going to give you two, but I'm going to gift one of them is going to be one of Asher's questions. It's my first five questions were from Asher. So I kind of felt like you should get the last one because you have a tendency to have really good answers. And his question was a little bit wilder than I thought some of the other people could handle. So first question, how and did you ever get kicked out of an art show?
Kicked out of an art show?
Yeah. Or an art, either, because he put art show, and I'm like, maybe it was a museum. Maybe it was
okay, so I constantly get in trouble at museums for getting too close to things.
I feel that.
I have, so, I don't know, I've never been kicked out of a show, but a show almost fell apart when I was having a group show when I was graduating in 2014 with my BFA. I was having a show with two of my other friends, and we had this, like, one of us had this big blow up with the dude that was putting on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took the side of the dudes that the gallery it was, and the other person took way offense to that. And we had to sit there and like have like a real kind of sit down and like discuss so we could make sure the show is still going to go through and things are going to still be successful and fun. And that was really tense. So for a while we were like, "That's not going to happen." And that was, and Tom, the you know, rest his soul, but he was like so mad, so living in it, because it was his gallery, and it was just a whole, and it was all over hanging. It was all over.
Oh.
They wanted their stuff to be like at museum height and all this stuff, and that's not how Tom ran the gallery. Tom had a system that worked really well, and eventually they were just told that you're going to do this, like we're going to do it this way, and they did, but like it was never heard the end of that one.
Oh my gosh.
I did get kicked out of my high school art class because I made the teacher cry.
I remember that story.
But that's not like, that's not an art show.
That's pretty good.
I don't know. Like,
I think that counts.
I mean, he didn't like cry in front of me, but when he called my mom to like tell her what I had done, he was like crying. And when she got home later that day after I had like gotten out of school, she was like, "Did you know you made him cry?"
God, I knew the story. So this was the question for you. I knew it.
it was wild. Yeah. So I don't know. As far as, I don't know, I feel like if you're in a show though, and you're like getting kicked out of it, you're one, a person you probably shouldn't be worked with again, or two, two, the gallery is that bad.
That's a good
point. And they shouldn't have a gallery, and they shouldn't be worked with. So there's a couple of different scenarios that can pop out of that. Like, but for sure, when I got kicked out of a high school class, that was because the teacher crossed the line with me, and then I was a teenager that was like, oh, okay. And so I saw this sensitive, like, 38-year-old virgin, and I was like, I just went for the throat. And I'm not even exaggerating when I mean 38-year-old virgin. Oh. The dude admitted he was a virgin to his high school AP art class.
That might have been more than he... I'm about to say, that was a bad...
That wasn't even what crossed the line with me, though. That is not what crossed the line with me. Well, yeah, no, it was like, it was insane. Like,
you know,
that was the whole thing.
Sometimes we make decisions in our past, and they're there.
But I would redo that all over again, and I would probably do it the same. I would just have more clever... things to say to the dude this time, because hopefully I'm still as smart as I am now, you know?
About to say, you have the knowledge you currently have, so it'd be witty and probably really snarky, too.
That would be so dope. It'd be so much better than, like, the weird, like, mocking I did of him. <I'm> so unoriginal.
The high school mocking.
God, I'm talking about being a bully to an adult on your podcast, Lisa. This is kind of messed up. People are not going to think highly of me.
Thank you, Asher, for the wild question. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, I loved it. That was a fun one.
I usually answer also on these questions from the listeners, so I had to do my version. I have not been kicked out of something, but my husband and one of my professors almost got us kicked out, as I glare over. We were at a fancy art thing, and we had art in there, and they were auctioning it off, and then Ben and Derek White had to point at things. Particularly, it was like a plaque that has everyone's names, and there was definitely two guys over there showing off their names on the plaque, and they're over there like obviously pointing and laughing, and me and a wife were just like, they're gonna notice, you guys can't do this. And they're like making a bigger deal of point. And then later on, they had the opportunity to try out the fancy heart hospital equipment, and they're making it dance. I'm like, I'm walking away before this turns into a bad situation. But I actually love the story beyond all reason, and I would never take away an opportunity to have Derek White and Benjamin Horlander in a situation to cause shenanigans, because it's a lot of fun. But
of course. It
was one of those moments where those fancy gentlemen turned around while they were pointing, and I'm like, oh, here it goes. But they walked away. So it's not even a kicking out story. It was
just shenanigans are up there, though.
They are.
Shenanigans are cool.
I think if we added you to that story, it would be a really fun time.
You might actually got kicked out if I was there.
Actually, that'd be... We need to have this happen sometime. No, I'm kidding.
No, I only got kicked out of Applebee's one time.
And Applebee's, too. I mean, you really got to act up on that. Really. Okay, second question from the listeners. What is your favorite studio attire?
Like, what do I wear when I'm painting?
Yeah. So what's your favorite thing to wear?
I wear paint-covered jeans and either a paint-covered t-shirt or hoodie, so I don't have to use a rag so much.
Do you wear the same hoodie when you're painting?
Not all the time. I have studio clothes. Like, I have a series. Like, I have hoodies. I have flannels. I've got t-shirts. I've got, like, a whole section of my closet that's just, like, my paint clothes, and I have my civilian clothes.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
A.K.A. stuff that doesn't have paint on it.
Yeah. Once it's been painted on, it becomes part of the rest of the fold, right?
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. And it could be one job thing. Like, well, this just became a giant walking paint rag.
Yeah. Yes. Especially when it's, like, a nice paint rag, too. You're like, oh, this is that kind. Maybe this is something I wear to an art show so it looks like I'm an artist. Now that it has paint smack dab on the front.
Oh, well, I just show up looking like a straight-up art bum to opening, so I don't know, man.
Brantley style is showing up. It's all good. You've got the thing going on.
I guess I do like my New Balances. My shoes that I wear all the time, they're, like, actually wearing out, and I'm actually very sad about that. But they're good for, like, standing a lot in, which I do stand a lot while I'm painting. Mm-hmm. So I, like, get walking shoes, but they're just good standing shoes.
That's actually probably good tip advice, too, is invest in some good shoes if you're a painter, because painters always stand up, and we definitely need something soft underneath our poor little feet.
And I'm here to represent that New Balance. If they want to give me a sponsorship, that'd be real tight.
Yeah, shoes New Balance, expensive. If you hear this, please.
New Balance all day.
I will take that up, that option, too. I love a good New Balance.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time for a little bit of art news. This is the segment of the show where I talk about something that has knocked my socks off. And then I ask my guest if he's seen anything that has knocked his socks off. I'll go ahead and go first on this one, just so that way I can give you some time to talk, because I know that you've been out looking at all kinds of stuff. Because one thing I didn't mention is Brantley has an awesome new studio space in the Tin District of Dallas, which is a cool area of, it's right near where a lot of galleries are, so it's easy to go gallery hopping is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Brantley has seen some cool stuff, so I want to hear about it. So something I recently have been, or I should say someone I've been obsessed with on Instagram for a few years, but lately even more, is Jan Haken Eckerson and his videos that show him interacting and destroying things like balloons, dry spaghetti noodles, tacos, crackers. He puts them together in unexpected ways. Like, he'll build these contraptions that allow him to crush them with his head or his hands, or maybe his body's interacting with it. You gotta look it up. It's weird. I'll post it on Instagram. They're short videos usually, so they're a lot of fun to watch, but he is interested in pain and how you interact with things. And I definitely think he has a sense of humor that is highly entertaining. So I've been watching those a lot. I have a tendency to just keep scrolling through them because they're the kind of video you kind of want to watch about 6 times in a row, if not 20. They're absolutely hysterical. Some of them kind of scare you. He had an incident about a year and a half ago where he had originally used to use often a prop that was a bunch of knives stuck in a board. I think it used to be like a cork board. So he would use this, have things fall on it and stuff to crush things. Well, it was off in a corner and he was doing something else with some other items and he fell off a ladder and landed on it and cut his arm up really bad. So there's a little bit of danger, very interesting stuff. He's from the, I believe, Netherlands. Don't take my word for that. I have to look back up and see. I know he's in Europe, but pretty cool stuff. So that has been knocking my socks off. Brantley, what have you gone and seen lately?
Well, in my neighborhood in the Tin District, the 500X show that's up, the Art of Consent, or Consent and Art, or whatever it's called, is, like, super great. It's all about artwork that deals about consent. Consent in all kinds of situations, but mostly, like, you know, sexual ones. And Cedars Union Cohort 3 member Laura Davidson has a piece in it, and she actually won Jury Selection Award, so she got, like, $500 for her piece.
I didn't know that part.
So shout out to Laura Davis. That's what's up. Her piece was really cool. It was, it said, like, touch me and then don't touch me. And it was made out of, like, it was essentially like it was like a fiber piece that was, each letter was like a pillow almost. Mm-hmm. And then it was just like a nice installation on the wall. It was very large, very beautiful.
Her work is so
That was like a knockout piece. It kind of stole the show, honestly. There was a couple of other, like, Cedars Union people were in that show too. So it's definitely worth a look. Coolie Projects has got a show up that's, like, deals with, like, mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, like, a nice performance that was going on there that was pretty involved. It was kind of, like, very dramatic, but it was also very kind of touching and, like, very real at the same time. And then Van Gogh at the DMA was,
yes,
like, knocked my socks off. It was so much fun. I went with my friend Matthew Woods. He's a Cohort 3 Cedars Union person also. We went and looked at the Van Gogh. We had a good laugh at the Gauguin Jesus painting because it was Gauguin's interpretation of Christ, but Christ was Van Gogh, and it was so obvious that it was Van Gogh.
Yeah.
And then I, like, before we went to the Lost Record, I was like, Woody, how much you want to think that, one, Gauguin said either he said this as a joke to Van Gogh, and Van Gogh was like, don't do it, or he just did it and showed Van Gogh, and Van Gogh got pissed. And then we read the wall placard, and Van Gogh was not having it the entire time. He was really mad that he was portrayed as Jesus. That sounds exactly like Van Gogh.
Yeah. I'm about to say, that's, yeah, you can, I honestly, like, took 2 seconds of that, and I had a very similar, I was like, oh, yeah, I can hear that conversation. And that was exactly in my head, too. I was like, yeah. Van Gogh was just like, dude, what are you doing? No, you can't do this. And the guy's like, no, I'm going to do it anyway.
Blasphemy!
Oh, that's highly entertaining. That show was absolutely amazing.
It was gorgeous. And then there's also a post-war abstract show,
yes,
at the DMA, too, that was, like, really beautiful. There's just, like, works of from all over the world that were made between, like, the 40s and I think even up into the 70s and 80s. So
yeah,
it was, like, it was really nice.
I didn't know that one was there, and so when I walked by it, I, like, had one of those gasping moments. I'm like, oh, what is that over there? It was really well curated.
Mm-hmm. It really was. That was another one of the reasons why it had just, like, opened, too. Like, they just, like, finally opened that.
Oh, God, I need to go back.
So it was,
I didn't,
like,
get a chance
really
to look
nice
at everything.
It was really cool. It was
was
next
really
time
cool.
I'm about to go see it. Cool.
And then I know it's down now, or maybe, I don't know, Turner's Modern World was really cool, too. It was just, like, a beautiful, sublime, swirly-durly of color that was, like, landscapes and ocean scenes that were actually really grim when you got up close and looked at them.
I'm glad you got to see
them. Well, shame on you.
No, what's up with me thinking I can take some time off of driving? No, I need to drive every weekend and go see all of the art. All of it.
Right.
Gosh.
Oh, there's plan. Like, there's a good show up at Row 2 right now that comes down this week.
Who's up right now?
I put me on the spot. I can't remember.
Sorry. We'll take that. But, it didn't happen.
Yeah. But, yeah, there's a good one up there right now. But next month, I'm in a group show with Kat and a few other artists at Row 2 that opens next Saturday,
The 19th,
from, I think, 5 to 7 or 6 to 8 or something like that.
I'm going to be up there. I'm not concerned.
So, yeah, y'all should come by and check it out. That would be cool. Or I guess by the time this airs, it's up or it's down.
Awesome. I'm so excited about that. That'll be a good show.
Yeah, it should be. It'd be pretty exciting. Jordan's supposed to come by today and pick out the work, so.
That's great. Ooh, you've got some good stuff. What pieces do you think you'll put in there? Or should we leave that as a surprise and talk about it later?
He's been talking about taking, like, the mask, paint the mask, the person that isn't a mask, the luchador mask, and probably going to take one of the dogs or both of the dogs, and then the painting I did of the older lady with a beer.
Nice.
We'll take a combination of some of those, probably.
That'll be good. That'll be good grouping. Well, where can people find you? Instagram, I can vouch that you have a great Instagram. Do you have a website, too?
Yes, I am on Instagram at Brantley, Brantly, _ Sheffield, Sheffield. And then you can visit me at my website, www.brantleysheffield.com, spelled the exact same way as my Instagram, except without the underscore.
Awesome.
Well, and most of my work is on those places, so give me a follow, hit me up. I'd love to hear from you.
Definitely. Please always reach out to us and follow Brantley. You can also follow my Instagram, Don't Drink Paint Water Podcast. Thank you, Brantley, for being here today.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
This was fun. I'll have you back another time, probably after the show opens at RO2 or something in a few weeks, month.
It'd be great.
Thanks for listening in. Thank you, podcasting wizards at TogiNet. If you want to start a podcast and sound amazing, I highly recommend you check them out. Don't forget, like this episode. It supports me and helps me make more podcasts. Also, check out the podcast's Instagram at Don't Drink Paint Water Podcast. Yes, one word. To see pictures of what I've talked about and to leave your questions for my future guests. See you on the next episode of Don't Drink the Paint Water, the podcast.